Hello and welcome to Culture with me, Robert Bounds, which this week comes to you from Miami. Yes, it's that time of the year again when the art world descends on Florida for a quick hit of pre-Christmas fun and sun. Oh, and some serious art business, of course, for yet another edition of Art Basel at Miami Beach that has just wrapped up. I went and met some key cats. Lisa Schiff, the art advisor with the most impressive client roster in the business. Leo DiCaprio was in town and needed a hand with his foundation. You know how it is. Design Miami's most innovative and interesting booth for a Belgian duo bringing their sitting room all the way from Ghent to FLA. And as the Art Basel brand expands to South America, I met the woman in charge of their new Not Quite an Art Fair outpost in Buenos Aires. That will be a little digest of Miami's Art Week in the next 29 minutes here on Monocle 24. First, we'll step out of the fair and into the botanical gardens next to the Miami Beach Convention Centre to meet Cecilia Alemani. Cecilia is in charge of Art Basel Cities, a part of the art empire that's not a fair, but is a sort of initiative that aims to give a bit of big company know-how to a relatively small art scene. There'll be art shows and general cultural programming. It might be a bit like Berlin's Gallery Weekend, in which galleries open to host their own and all sorts of other events. It's good vibes. Cecilia Alemani is head curator for New York's High Line, and she did the Italian Pavilion at the last Venice Biennale. And the first installment of Art Basel Cities will take place in Buenos Aires.
The project that I will oversee next September is a number of public art commissions throughout the city. The idea is to introduce in Buenos Aires the genre or the tradition of public art, which exists but is rather traditional, and so to in a way challenge both local and international artists to use the city as a canvas or as a pedestal for ambitious public artworks that can take place both in outdoor locations but also indoor locations that will be open for free to the public.
So public art, obviously this is something you specialised in with the High Line and with various other projects. What's the state of public art in Buenos Aires? When I think of it, I kind of maybe think of lots of bronze men on horseback. As there are there's a lot of those in London as well. But what's the lie of the land at the moment, and how can you see that changing?
I think it's for as much as I understand, because I've been there a few times, but I wasn't necessarily looking at public art. It's again rather traditional. There is nothing bad in the tradition of, you know, equestrian statues or commemorative monuments. But also, last time I was there, I was talking to the artists and spending a lot of time with the artistic community and realizing that there isn't any institution like, for example, like Art Angel or Creative Time or Public Art Fund in New York that really activate the city versus just the pedestal in a square. So there is certainly a lack of that kind of using the city as your base. But also, I think what's really, really fantastic in Buenos Aires is that there are amazing, amazing locations that have not been used. You know, they're both public locations but also privately owned sort of derelict buildings that could be like a great platform for contemporary art.
And here we are sitting in the Botanical Gardens next to the Convention Center in Miami. This is a different sort of event than the one that you're going to be stewarding, and the events are different, as commercial as they are curatorial, obviously. What do you pick up working for Art Basel, or certainly here in Miami? Obviously, a lot of people say that this is still the best art fair in South America. Not that it is in South America, but you know what they mean about the collector base and stuff. So what do you learn? Who are you meeting with this week to try to persuade them to come to Buenos Aires? Or are you trying to get Buenos Aires to put itself out there in an artistic way?
Here in Miami, you see a huge presence of Latin American galleries, and they do already like a great job. So what I hope we can do with my job at Art Basel Cities is to strengthen the relationship between the artistic scene, the local artistic scene in Buenos Aires, with the rest of the world. You can do that in a commercial way, of course, with galleries and WeCommerce. I'm also interested in introducing the work of Argentinian artists in other contexts. You know, maybe I've already worked with many Argentinian artists actually in the past, but there will be more and more occasions. But also to create long-lasting relationships between artists and colleagues from the curatorial world or from the institutional world that can come hopefully next year and not only discover the artistic scene, which is fantastic, but also to, you know, to carry it out with them in their jobs back in Europe or wherever in Asia. And so to really think of this opportunity as a networking opportunity too, because to create again like a series of relationships between the artists from Buenos Aires and, you know, the rest of the art world.
What sort of atmosphere are you trying to create? Because so much of the success of any event, whether it's 3 days or whether it lasts 10 years, or certainly the, you know, the foundations on which you build, are a lot to do with the atmosphere, aren't they? Yeah. That you can create and the people that you gather around you, and how much you can have your ear to the ground. How do you go about doing that? Is that using your existing relationship with Argentinian artists?
So the way I've been thinking of this project is very much starting from the city itself and the locations. Buenos Aires is an amazing city. Of course, you know, there are great museums and institutions. It's a very European city. Maybe that's why it resonates very much with me, because I'm Italian and I feel like walking in Buenos Aires is like walking in Milan. It's kind of scary, the similarities. But I think what excited me is being able to go and scout locations that have never been used for art, that artists, local artists don't know, and to invite artists to really use those locations for their work. So my hope is that from a user's perspective, both the local audience and international audience will be able to see the city through the eyes of the artists and to kind of discover new venues and new parts of the city that they've never seen before or they're never really thought of as a possible foundation for art. So I really think those two elements, from on one side the artistic, you know, creation and the artistic projects, but on the other side the city and its architecture and its history are very much linked together. And so I hope that it will be a discovery of the city as well. And the mood, you know, I'm a joyful person, so hopefully, you know,
I think I'm looking forward to it already.
So I hope I can capture this kind of moment of excitement and effervescence that I think is very, very bubbling right now in Buenos Aires.
Yeah, well, and I've not been to Buenos Aires. What's the kind of structure of the art scene like? Is it very local? You don't see too many. You see South American galleries, but not too many from Buenos Aires. Yeah. Here, is there sort of a practical structural thing that perhaps even the larger and the smaller galleries in Argentina can kind of learn from Art Basel? The kind of, you know, the machinery of it.
It's a very good question. You know, I think the art scene is really fantastic, and you know, my approach to it is less through the galleries, but it's more like through the artists themselves, doing studio visits and going to see, you know, there is a great addition of non-profit spaces, for instance. There are some galleries which are great. Some of them are here at the fair, some are in other fairs, and there are really wonderful museums. Of course, I think there is a gap when it comes to public art or art in the public space, but I think what's really nice in Buenos Aires is that you can really feel like you belong to a community. The community is rather small, like the art community is rather small, but I think there is a very, there is a very profound sense of belonging to the same community. I think that's great. Sometimes can be an obstacle for artists because it's hard to go outside this little circle, but I think it's a very supportive community among the artists and among the institutions. So I hope what we do is to kind of create bridges to bring this community abroad and also internationally.
You had a sort of a soft launch of it, or the announcement of it, as you said, a month ago in November. was there one night there, or I know you've worked with Argentinian artists before, as you said, is there a night or an atmosphere or a kind of an idea of an image you have in your head of Buenos Aires, of Art Basel cities being a success? Is there one? Are there two people you want to get on the dance floor? Are there two artists you would like to introduce to each other? Is there sort of an image in your head which you think, this has worked? When this comes to pass next year?
I think I have a couple of images. I think one of the nicest parts of the program that we did was taking the group to studio visits. And studio visits are always this kind of, I mean, I guess for me, because I do it every day, but also for people that don't do that every day, it's kind of a weird thing because you enter someone's studio and it's almost in the house of someone that you don't know, and you're going to have to ask so many questions in an hour. And so we did a studio visit with Jorge Macchi, who is a wonderful mid-career artist who actually has a great piece here at the Ruth Benzegar Gallery. And I could see him being very comfortable, but also our group, and it was a very international group that has never been to Buenos Aires before, being also very, very comfortable. So I think it was a metaphor of how welcoming Buenos Aires is, and how, you know, there is already a great scene. It's not that we're gonna go and create an art scene, because there is already a great scene. It's just about creating relationship again.
And lest we forget that Art Basel Miami Beach is about buying and selling art, let's speak to the best connected art advisor in the business, Lisa Schiff. What is an art advisor? Someone who helps wealthy collectors buy things that'll stay nicer for longer. In an aesthetic way, of course. In a financial asset way, very likely too. It's a very interesting job, and Lisa Schiff is known, amongst others, to be the art advisor to Leonardo DiCaprio, an art collector who also has a foundation in his own name that's aiming to draw the world's eyes, and the eyes of the wealthy perhaps particularly, to the ravages of climate change. Lisa Schiff has been advising the foundation, but also producing her own editions under her new company name, All One Every, that will benefit the cause too. Onions? Oh, Lisa Schiff knows her onions.
The foundation is quite large and vast, and its approach to environmentalism really covers endangered species, the oceans, forest protection, litigation, climate change, so many different things. And in order to fix things, we have to tackle all those things at the same time. And I'm really proud to be working for it, because a lot of times with charities, people are wondering, where is my money going? But I can say, from being on the inside, Terry Tamminen, who's the CEO, and Leonardo DiCaprio, and Justin Winters and the whole team, they're so on top of everything, and I feel really good about that. It also makes what I do a lot of fun, and it feels good. It feels like you're giving back a little bit. We have been, like many nonprofits, able to work with artists in an auction setting for the past 5 years. It's been tremendous for us. We've enjoyed it so much, and we've worked hard every time to make really interesting exhibitions. But we realize there are so many nonprofits that are also trying to do the same thing, and the artists are getting really, really tired and burned out of giving artwork for benefit auctions. So we thought, we can't keep doing this. You know, just can't keep going. So what could we do with them that would be like a different model? So we just began contacting artists, and we actually started here in Miami. So we had the foundation come down last year and meet with Franklin Sermons and Rodman Premack. Franklin is the director of the Perez Art Museum, otherwise called PAM, and Rodman is the director of Design Miami. So we decided all together to partner, and this year we didn't do a very big thing. We were sort of nervous, so we just did two artists. And on the outside of the Perez Museum, Andrea Bowers, we commissioned a new neon sculpture that says in very bright Miami colors, climate change is real, which is a very interesting topic here because the state government is not so excited about discussing things like this, and we've just had a very difficult hurricane. So it's quite visible here that there's something wrong with the environment. So we're really proud of that piece, and it's outside. And then on the inside, we have a painting by Thomas Sanchez, who is a Cuban artist who lived in Miami and also in Costa Rica. He is very much about nature and the environment and meditation.
And how easy a transition has it been for you to move from advisory into production? I mean, you're commissioning, you're working with artists more closely than people might think of when they hear the title art advisor. You've gone beyond that. Is that an easy fit? Is that just another meeting in your day kind of thing?
It's so much fun. it costs money, and it's risky, right? So you don't know that what you're producing will sell, and so I'm taking that risk on. And I, you know what? It's so much fun, and I believe in all these artists so much, and I'm really excited about it. I could do it all day long.
And it seems kind of like there's no bump in the road between these two things, and one of your jobs sort of leads into the other one. People be kind of intrigued to know what on earth the rhythm of a week like Miami Art Basel Miami is for you. You're an advisor. You're doing all one every. You're obviously deeply involved with the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation. All these things. How many phone calls are you fielding a day? When is the best time to reach you? I wonder. When is the best time to have a meeting?
Well, you're probably not going to like me for saying this on the air, but the week...
My time's up.
I usually have diarrhea the week before Miami because I'm so nervous. Not really, but, you know, figuratively. I'm like, I can't... How am I going to juggle it all? It's the worst fair, I think, for advisors because everybody comes to this. And other fairs, sometimes we have no clients show up or just one or two, but everyone wants to come here because it's Miami and it's fun. So it's usually a kind of car crash for us, and it's really hard. And this year was maybe the first year I kind of learned how to breathe through the panic and not get too stressed out. And we started early this year because we're going to have this event, I think, every year at Perez. We had it on the Sunday before. So it was kind of really fun to lead in because most people aren't in town yet. We really focused on the Miami people. And then it was such a success, and I think we were all on a high and feeling good from that. So then on Monday, you know, you're starting meetings already, even though not all collectors are here, but they're starting to roll in, and there's dinners and this and that, and just getting your schedule set. Which one am I going to? Who am I going with? And how am I going to get there? There's so much traffic here. There have been years where we've had floods and no one could get anywhere. Now there's construction. I'm trying to negotiate a high-profile individual, you know, just from a security point of view, in and out of the fair, which is difficult sometimes, and putting things on hold. And so I have the greatest team ever. And I should say, without them, I don't exist, really.
It's quite addictive, isn't it? It sounds, you're listing off a number of things, but I can tell it's obviously very exciting stuff as well. Is the best bit what it was when you started doing this job, Lisa? Has it become that thing of finding a great work, matching it with the right person, or introducing someone that wants to collect into a particular artist, introducing them to the studio, all this, all the kind of like behind the scenes stuff that people love. Maybe it's none of those things, but what's the most sort of satisfying bit for you from a week, a crazy week like here in Miami?
Yeah, I mean, I feel a bit on a high. It's, you know, it's like when it's really good, and I don't mean from a sales perspective, but it just felt like I didn't have any roadblocks this time. I had no real snafus. And so I was able to actually just be me and relax. And I mean, I'm not relaxed, but I'm doing my job. And I think the longer I'm in this, and also the exposure from the foundation of working so closely with artists now for 3 years, I know a lot more information about bodies of work and just how to go about something, what's the best way, what's the best body of work. And I just feel like I do my job better. And I think my clients really love that, so that makes me happy.
And are you still finding new stuff? Are you still finding... I remember when we spoke before when I interviewed you for the magazine, you said something amusing like, you know, I'm a bit of a pink girl at heart. You know, like I always have a bit of a Miami moment when I'm in Miami. So have you had any amusing pink moments here in Miami? And have you found anything wonderful and new that you could tell our listeners about that isn't a secret for one of your... top priority clients.
Okay, well, my Miami moment is the climate change is real neon that Andrea Bowers did on the outside of the Perez. The real blinks, and it's this flamingo pink, and it's just a very Miami thing. So please go see that. Personally, and just for fun, I bought a Dennis Hopper photograph. It's just something I love. It's great. They just reissued some of the vintage works at Michael Cohn, so I had to buy one. And I bought a little Haas Brothers little tabletop sculpture because I love them. Sonia Kantorovsky, who is an artist I am obsessed with, I mean, I can't say enough about how good he is. He's very young. He's very young to me because I'm getting old, but he's in his 30s. Career-wise, he's been doing this for a while now. But he just started showing with Loring Augustine, and he also shows with Stuart Shave. And the work on the booth, I could have sold to every single one of my clients. Unfortunately, we were not able to get it. And he had a really interesting clothing installation at Tanya Layton. So I put all my belief in him. And there's a young artist that Gordon Venneklassen brought to my attention who shows at Michael Werner. And, well, I know they're just starting to see and work with her, but I have a feeling they're official now. I'm not sure. Hannah Hoffman also. Her name is Raffaella Simon. Even though she sounds Italian, I believe she's German. I believe she studied with Peter Doig. And Gordon's got a new really cool space under the Manhattan Bridge in Chinatown. So there's a show up right now of her work. Very affordable, very good painting.
Finally, we'll visit Art Basel's sister fair, Design Miami. Miami has always been very strong on artifacts, chairs, the decorative, as well as the useful. There are, after all, some very big houses to kit out, as well as a vibrant design district which, while planned, has taken on a genuine life of its own. At the fair, the best booth was that of Belgian designers Muller van Severen. They're married in real life and a formidable design duo professionally, and visitors got a real insight into how they live, because they recreated their sitting room from Ghent, bookcases, sofas, children's toys, the lot. It's a beguiling mix, made more amusing still by selected artefacts being fitted with loudspeakers that tell their history in technology that was sponsored by Airbnb. If only these rooms could talk, someone clearly said, and then they made it so.
I am Hannes van Severen from Muller van Severen.
And I'm Finn, also from Muller van Severen.
All the designs by Muller van Severen could be considered as installations or sculptures, if you wish, to sit in, to write on, to live in.
Well, listen, thank you so much for having me over in your living room. What's actually in your living room at home, if this is here?
We recreated a little bit with the furniture we already had, but it came from upstairs, and it's a little bit... But you can say it has the same ambience. You can say, there are the same people behind the objects, so... It's similar, but of course it's different from this.
Yeah, but it's very weird because it looks almost exactly like our living space. It's weird.
And obviously when you're designers and people are walking around in a facsimile of your living room from Ghent, well, people are kind of looking at the chairs, kind of like moving the sofas around, putting things on the tables and all the rest of it. Do you see people behaving differently in this room than how you behave in it at home?
Yeah, of course. We are not entering a room when we are entering our home. It's just we are there. So it's not to enter and then you go away. No, you stay there. And so it's not surprising all the time, let's say.
But it's nice to see when they come in and they are like really surprised and smiling because they actually feel at home at a fair, I think. That's why, because they're not expecting to enter a living room. And it's also like there are some design pieces, but we trade everything in the same way. We don't, when we have an expensive piece, we just use it and then it becomes our piece. So it's like in real life. So
yes, it seems like it seems very true to life.
Yes.
How do you test your own designs? Do you live with them?
Our living room is like always the testing room of our pieces. So it's for us, it's very important when we make a piece, we are asking ourselves, do you want to live with this? And we are trying this in this room. So it's actually like the studio is to design and think about our work and pieces we make. But here it's for testing.
As you said, it's got a very kind of warm atmosphere. People come in and they kind of, there are people sitting on your sofa, there are people kind of sitting around your table. It's a bit strange for you possibly, but obviously it's about making people feel at home.
Yeah, but also we are here on Design Miami and all those design pieces are in a white cube, let's say, like, don't touch it, please don't touch it. And we want to say the opposite. Please touch it, it's a design piece, but you have to use it. And we wanted to show our pieces can be used, they have to be used. You have to be with them, to live with them. And so this is also a story to tell, to bring this in Design Miami.
Yeah. And also like the view. This is your view, I guess. I mean, from your sitting room window, this is the front garden or the back garden.
We took pictures of the outside view, and then we made light boxes of them. So to also create like the daylight is coming in. And we also made a video from the view to the studio. And you can see us working. And
yeah. That's particularly strange with you two, kind of like your doppelgangers in the studio, right?
That's our daughter now passing by. So I like those little movements.
Yeah, it's very beguiling. And it's one of those things you kind of have to look twice to see if it's really moving or whether it's actually the outside, whether it's a street in Miami here. But we've got a very handsome bookcase and fireplace here down the other end. Maybe we can just have a quick wander down here. Tell us about some of the... There's a beautiful painting above the fireplace. I guess these are some of your kids' creations. There's a attractive-looking, serious-looking foot. But maybe you can tell us the story of a couple of the artifacts that we see on the bookshelves here.
Yeah, there's the painting on the chimney. It's around. It's a painting from 19th century. It's we've got it from my father, who is an art dealer and also an artist and a painter. And so this painting is from his collection. And then you have the puppets. It's the dolls from our youngest daughter.
They're amazing.
Yeah, it's
what a busy family. Everyone's doing everything.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's nice to see when our youngest daughter is making something. It's very direct, and we were making some like models with foam. We cut it with a foam cutter, and she wanted also to use it, and she made this, and she painted it, and she drew it, and I think this is beautiful and very direct and honest made. It's just like the chair she made.
I made this small black chair when I was only 7 years old. I love to make things. Just yesterday, there we were sitting, having breakfast, and there was a stapler.
I want to ask you again about the studio. We can see it from the window here. It's obviously a recreation of what it's like at home in Ghent. How useful is it, and how comfortable are you with having the studio so close to home? Do you have your best ideas in the studio, or do you have them in this sitting room?
For us, it's all the time, like, it's because it's so close to our home. You can say you can work. Oh, you can always work, but you don't have to work all the time, and that's a luxury, because we sometimes are cooking together and then have a great idea, or somebody is drawing a little thing and the other one is repeat on that and those things. So it starts always in a different way, but then with a little drawing, then we go together to the studio or the atelier to make it, or to make the first thing in a 3D proportion. But I can't say we work from 9 to 5 in the studio, and then we close the door, and it's all the time everything. But that means also your family life is also in your studio sometimes. But it's a nice way of working.
It's beautiful. It's such a lovely place. Thank you very much for having me in your sitting room. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of Culture. My producer was, of course, Holly Fisher. We'll be back at the same time next week. For the time being, I've been Robert Bounds, and thanks for tuning in.